The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destra. Brooke, with Phillies fans in mourning, safe to say, the Delaware Valley is in mourning.
I am in today. Physical pain.
Crushing Game 7 loss for the Phillies to the Diamondbacks in the NLCS, falling short of the World Series for the Phils. And I think the focus is going to shift a little bit towards the Flyers, of course the Eagles and the Sixers, but also I think the Flyers. I think some fans are going to turn the page to hockey a little bit.
That's a great segue. Jordan's like, rip the Band-Aid off.
Yes.
Now we're going to talk about hockey.
Hockey. And the Flyers, 3-2-1 through six games.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Could be way worse.
Yeah. So, Brooke, we're going to talk hockey today and look where this team is going. A couple tough losses for them. One goal losses to Stanley Cup contenders, a 5-4 overtime loss to the Stars, and a 3-2 loss to the defending champion Golden Knights, who have yet to lose. They're 7-0-0, and the Flyers actually had them
on the ropes
a little bit. What were your takeaways from those two losses? Are you more, hey, they need to finish these games, or no, these could be building type of losses?
I mean, first crazy road trip of the season. Yes, they were in Ottawa just last week, but you know, traveling out west for the first time is always a big deal. And they really just had like back-to-back, I'd say, gauntlet games. Like both the Stars and the Vegas Knights are both contenders for the season. They're both highly anticipated to, you know, be two of the top teams to attempt to go the distance. So I wouldn't be surprised if so many people went into this week being like, oh my God, the Flyers are about to get steamrolled in Texas and in Las Vegas. And what you saw instead of that was, I think, a really great metaphor for what we should expect to see this entire season, which is a team that fights back, that bounces back, that answers quickly, that's not going to basically like fall down and give in as soon as, you know, they're in a 1 or 2 goal deficit, which is pretty incredible already when you look at the transition from last year. You know, they get in that deficit, you're like, they're down, they're gonna lose. Like it's one of those scenarios that, you know, I guess a lot of people were again expecting this year. So I mean, listen, I know the whole morale thing for losses is terrible. I will gladly take a point against the Stars. I will gladly take a battle until the final, what was it, like 30, like when was that final score goal in Vegas? It was like the last couple seconds of the...
Yeah, last 30 seconds of the game.
Right.
And a game that ended at 1:48 a.m.
That was so much fun to watch after the Phillies lost. I had so much fun last night, everybody.
No sarcasm there.
Not a lick of it. But, you know, you look at these teams and you, like the Flyers put up a great fight. They really did for both games, and I will take that any day. I mean, it sucks. It would have been very Flyers for them to give Vegas their first loss of the season, but they are like, this is like historic right now what Vegas is doing, going 7-0, coming off of a cup run. Must be nice.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just overall, like, really good stuff. I'm not high on, like, the morale of, like, oh, we lost, but this is what we gained. But I think that that's a really big point of, like, conversation right now. Like, they lost, but they fought like hell.
Yeah.
And we're not even 10 games into the season yet, which is such a great breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I think the fans that are on board with the rebuild and are realistic about the rebuild wanted to see the strides taken this season with competitiveness. Be in games, be competitive, be in games late in the third period. Don't quit on games. I'm not saying the Flyers quit on games in the past, but over the last couple of seasons, there were games that got away from them fast and were non-competitive.
Throw in the towel, just kind of be like, hang it up for the day.
Right.
It was infuriating to watch. So you might be able to say that you didn't see that. I saw.
Yeah, there you
sometimes
go.
Sometimes I saw some quitters, and I don't see that this year. So
no.
Transition number one complete.
Yes. So I think fans are watching a team that's been competitive so far against some of the best teams in the league, and they're also seeing another thing about a rebuilding team, and that's some young players playing. And you can't say the Flyers haven't looked young. Part of that has been because of injuries, but these two games on the road, they had a really young back end. Igor Zamula, Cam York, Emil Andre, 23 years old, 22 years old, and 21 years old. So half their back end is kids, and they're playing some prospects up front in Forrester and Brink. So I think you're seeing some promises be fulfilled in the rebuild, and that's wanting to be more competitive and also making sure they're still looking at younger players. I think the Flyers have checked off those two boxes so far. So to me, tough losses, but I expect them to lose those games. The fact that they were competitive and they didn't quit, and you're seeing some young players play, I think are all positives to me for this early in the season. 3-2-1 is not a bad thing.
No. I mean, I looked at it this way. Going in, my biggest concern was the blue line, how they were going to match up defensively. And I really just, I want to commend Carter Hart, especially last night against the Golden Knights, who basically stood on his head for majority of the game because Vegas wasn't going to make it easy, and they certainly didn't. And it's great to know that you have that level of confidence in your goaltender, especially this early in the season, being so locked in. Again, with the whole sense of like breath of fresh air, not that Hart has struggled in the past, but just kind of really like jumping right out of the gate, being like, yeah, I'm going to give this team a chance every single time I'm between the pipes.
Yeah.
You can't ask for anything better, and you're going to have growing pains with the younger guys defensively, because that's just that it comes with the league. You're going to have, you know, your top line out against, you know, a pair of young 20-year-olds. They're going to struggle, but that's how you learn. That's how you grow, you know? So it's really reassuring. And then I can't talk enough about how fun Bobby Brink has been.
Yeah.
His assist on the Farabee goal the other day was just so instinctive. It was just, I can't explain it. He, in an instinct, went to pass to Farabee right in front of the net, gave him the open shot instead of just, I would have been like, yeah, just dump, like try and like squeeze it through the pads of the goalie. And he got it to Farabee, and it was just, he's going to be good.
I know.
He's going to be good, Jordan Hall.
No, for real, Brooke. I feel like you see a young player in that spot. You know, he's in the slot. He's like a foot away from the goalie. He's just getting that back on net real quick. Instead, like, he has the presence of mind to like collect himself and find Farabee right there on the doorstep. I had his college coach, David Carl, tell me years ago for a feature story that I wrote that his hands and vision are elite. And obviously, I had not seen him play a ton yet at that point. So it was more like, okay, well, I guess we'll see whenever he gets here. I mean, he's been as advertised to me. His hands and vision are elite, and you can see why he's here and helping the team. And that's an exciting part, I think, if you're a Flyers fan. This kid's only 22.
22,
and he's like, he's given them no reason to send him down or to not even be in the lineup. Like, I think he's almost solidified his spot in the lineup. I do think the Flyers will keep a close eye on him to see how he progresses over an NHL grind. He's a smaller guy.
Sure.
But I think he's earned his spot in the lineup right now. And
100%.
He's going to have to fall off for them to take him out of it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff from Bobby Brink. Catch all the sports action and more at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Whether it's the money line or the pass line, there's something for everyone, including a great sports book. Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Philly loves a winner. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, Brooke, I think one thing that we expected is something that we have seen is the team is struggling to score a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to struggle to score goals. I don't think that's rocket science. That is something we expected.
Plain and simple.
Something I think in-house the Flyers knew they were going to battle a little bit. They know they don't have super high-end talent littered across the lineup that's going to score goals consistently. One guy that maybe could help if he's in the lineup is Morgan Frost.
Who would have thought that?
But he's been a healthy scratch the last four games. I think people are wondering, when is Morgan Frost going to be back in the lineup? Have you agreed with the decision to bench him for four games? And when do you think we might see him again, Brooke Destra?
Do I agree with it? No. Can I end my statement there? No.
No. Okay. No.
That would be a very quick podcast.
Simple and cut. No. Yes.
I understand the notion to maybe sit him for a game or two. I think four is a significant stretch. I understand John Tortorella's perspective, though, where it's like, I don't just want to throw him in and give him, you know, bottom of the barrel minutes. So I respect that. However, having Frost, who at the turn of the calendar year last year led the team in goals, to miss four games this early in the season, I'm like, that's very interesting. And I'm not, you know, don't question it. Like, the Flyers are still trying to figure things out, but I think that there might be a window of opportunity if you see Forrester still struggling throughout. It's like, what, a four-game homestand the Flyers are coming up on starting Thursday, where, you know, if he's limited on minutes and he's still struggling to even get a shot on goal, then maybe it makes sense to swap him and Frost and see, you know, if we can add any any type of chaos to the offense.
No, I think that's an incredibly fair point. And one thing I think, if there's one player that Frost will come in for, I think it's going to be Tyson Forrester. Mm-hmm. He played only 12 and a half minutes last night. Didn't have a shot on goal. He committed a penalty. It looks like he's, I think, struggling to find himself a little bit offensively up here, and that's fine. He's 21 years old.
Growing pains.
Growing pains.
This is what happens in a rebuild when you have so many young guys. So
right.
It's not like hit the panic button, scream, run around in circles. Like, it's...
No.
You got to figure it out.
But if Tortorella is looking to find somewhere to get Frost into the lineup, I mean, I think there's a player right there that hasn't really answered the bell yet offensively, is fighting it, hasn't really been showing his biggest strength, and that's his shot. So I think it could be Frost going in for Forrester. And one thing I'll say about that, too, is I know the team has said, hey, we're happy with Forrester and his 200-foot play. He's, you know, he's checked well. He's played that overall NHL game that we want to see. But they've held Frost to a standard of, hey, he's an offensive player. He's a top six type of player. We need to see offense, and if he's not creating offense, you know, 200-foot play doesn't really matter that much. I think they need to hold Forrester to the same standard, personally. I mean, you can't just say Frost is the only guy that needs to show offense, and if he's not, then he comes out. But Forrester, hey, if he's not scoring, it's okay. No, I think they need to be held to the same standard in some way. And right now, Forrester just has not cut it offensively. And I don't think it's a positive that he's playing like 12 minutes, you know, some games. Like, he needs to play minutes, just like Morgan Frost needs to play minutes, too, when he's in the game. So that's where I stand. I don't really agree that he sat four straight games. I think two games that he played is a short leash for a guy that played really well down the stretch last year. I think he should be back in the lineup soon. When that will be, I'm not sure. But
I'd be shocked if he's not in either tomorrow against Minnesota or Saturday against Anaheim.
Yep.
I would be shocked. Just because, first of all, you don't want him sitting that long. It's one thing to have him, you know, practicing and skating with the team, but, you know, you still need to have that whole element of, hey, we are so early in the season, we don't want him to go cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, Forrester has the ability where if he has to go down to Lehigh Valley, he can. Frost doesn't have that.
No. Exactly.
So if you want Forrester to play and get minutes and kind of build his confidence, I could see him going down to Lehigh Valley. And again, not a bad thing. He's 21. It's fine. It's growing pains.
Right.
But you need Frost in there.
And I think there was a lot of debate about the rotation of prospects early on in the season. The Flyers had good decisions to make on defense and at forward. On defense, they've kind of had their decisions made by injuries to Mark Stahl and Rasmus Ristolainen.
Yeah, that was less than ideal.
Yes. Ristolainen has yet to make his season debut. John Tortorella told reporters, Jeff Nyberg of The Inquirer, Kevin Kurz of The Athletic, on this road trip that Ristolainen had a setback, apparently, and they're not quite sure when he's going to be back. And, of course, Mark Stahl suffered that injury, the final home game, I believe, against the Oilers before this road trip. Upper body, sounds like it's a week-to-week type of thing. So they've had their decisions made on defense.
Yep.
These prospects are playing because they have to play. At forward, I mean, I feel like there's still a battle between Forrester and Brink. And right now, Brink's looking like he should play. He's playing big minutes. He's playing well.
And this was a huge discussion that we had leading into like opening night roster, like lineup. We both openly were like, yeah, we see Bobby Brink making this over Forrester. And again, it's not a knock to Tyson at all. It's just Brink is playing at the caliber that you need, and he's fighting every single game to be like, I deserve this spot.
Yep.
And he has. So I agree with the whole needing to hold Forrester accountable the same way that you're holding Frost accountable. Mm-hmm. And I think Frost has also rightfully earned the level of, hey, like, I should be in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's...
No, absolutely. I think he had a pretty good runway last year, and he answered the bell. Last year, you know, from January on, they were asking young players to step up and seize roles, and, I mean, he led the team in scoring from January on. I thought he did a good job and earned himself a little bit longer of a leash.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing with Forrester is I think it would not be the end of the world, as you mentioned, if he went down to Lehigh and was the guy down there. I mean, Lehigh's struggling a little bit.
Just build the confidence.
Yeah.
Let him skate. Give him more than 12 minutes of ice time.
Exactly.
It's not going to help him at all. If anything, it's going to hinder him.
Right. And the big...
Done. End.
Exactly.
That's it.
The big thing was they don't want to block their kids. Well, Forrester has a 24-year-old that would be subbing in for him. It's not like the Flyers are playing some 32-year-old veteran forward over Tyson Forrester. They have a 24-year-old center who they're trying to figure out if he's a part of this rebuild, a very capable player to put up some offense. I don't think it would be a bad thing if Morgan Frost drew in, Tyson Forrester came out, and if he actually went to Lehigh, again, I think he would go down there, he would be the man, and he would put up points, and I think he will be back here soon. And as you mentioned, Brooke, doesn't require waivers to go down. So
why even question it? Just like get Frost in, send Forrester to Lehigh for a little bit. Done.
And you think, Brooke, this rotation probably needs to stop soon. I just don't think it's real positive to have Morgan Frost sitting. I don't think it's positive to have Tyson Forrester sitting.
You want the young guys to play, and that is the biggest thing that we had said this offseason as well. But that was a completely different situation where we were like, we don't want the veterans taking over time for these young guys to figure out who is going to fit in this rebuild and who is not.
Mm-hmm.
This is young kid does not have to clear waivers, and somebody who clearly does and needs to play.
Yeah.
Frost sitting four games, I don't like that at all. The more that I think about it, the angrier I'm getting.
Yeah. No, and I think it's justified. I think there's a lot of fans out there that are probably seriously wondering why Frost sat four games. He should not be sitting four straight games. I think they need to see what they have in him. I think the Flyers have some decisions coming up. I'm not sure when exactly they'll come, but they do have a four-game homestand coming up. So they'll be closer to home, closer to Lehigh, where maybe they can get players to and from. So maybe we will see some decisions soon to have these prospects playing more minutes, more games, better opportunities to develop.
I just think it makes too much sense.
Yeah.
Too much sense.
Brooke, my final question for you. Over this first six games here, any players, doesn't have to be a prospect or an older player, any players that maybe have stood out to you a little bit that maybe have caught your eye? For me, one would be Travis Sanheim. I think he looks like a different player. He's 5 assists in 6 games. He's playing big-time minutes, and I've liked the way he has looked. How about you?
I remember Ottawa game aside.
Yes.
just don't talk about...
They flushed that game. No one was happy with how they
played.
Don't
talk about game 2 of the season. Genuinely, though, if you take game 2 out of the equation, they have played a great start to the season.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I always do the whole, you give it 15, 20 games, and then you're going to see how they really are as a team. Because...
They started.
That's what's going to wind up happening.
They started 4-1-1 in 2021-22, and they finished with 57 losses that year.
Yeah, so it's like you never really know.
Never really know how things go.
What's going to happen? But again, taking Ottawa out of the equation, I fully agree with Sanheim, and I could not be happier about that situation, especially given, you know, Ristolainen being out and Staal being out for the foreseeable future. You're going to need him to step up in any capacity, and he's made some questionable turnovers at, you know, iffy times, but Carter Hart has most times than not bailed him out. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't really been as big of an issue as it has been in the past.
Yeah.
And what does he have? He's got 5 assists in 6 games.
Yep.
And, you know, having him contribute anything offensively is obviously a huge deal as well. But I just, yeah, commending Sanheim to, because he knows that he needs to fix the narrative of himself and how people, you know, perceive his position on this team. And I think he hit the ground running to start this season, which is awesome. I also just want to take a commend Noah Cates,
yeah,
who has been crushing it. And then Travis Konecny, which is more of like a state the obvious thing.
No,
but I'm like, the shorthanded goals are insane. We didn't even talk about the power kill, Jordan.
Yeah,
Hall.
I know.
The power kill is back.
4 shorthanded goals for the team so far. They have 1 on the power play.
3 against Dallas.
Yeah. Like, that was wild. And
that was insane.
And a good sign of them not quitting.
No.
I mean, they're down 4-2 in the third period, and they're on the PK, and I'm like, this game's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rip off 2 straight shorthanded goals, and suddenly they're in overtime. I mean,
Walker,
kudos.
And Konecny, I mean, you have to commend them and give them credit where credit's due. Even if you don't think this team is going anywhere this season, like you said, they are fighting. Like, I have not seen them fight in a handful of years, which is exciting. I don't care that it is, like, game 6 of the year.
Yeah.
I don't. It's fun. It's a breath of fresh air. And I am a sucker for shorthanded goals, so I have been enjoying the past couple weeks with that.
Yeah, no, that's been really fun. And yeah, with Sanheim, of course, it's only 6 games in, as we alluded to. He's got to build on it. But there was so much talk, as you mentioned, about the offseason and his year prior.
We had so much to discuss about him
right.
This offseason.
And he, I mean, a quick start is a quick start. I think there's something to be said for him starting well and kind of answering the bell early. But, of course, so many more games to go where I think just about everyone needs more to prove. As we mentioned, we've seen Flyers get off to nice little starts over the last 5-6 years.
It's like build up hope and then it's like, meh.
Yeah. So,
just kidding. It's just kind of like how the Phillies hurt me last night.
Yeah.
You build up hope and then it's like, no.
And then they crush it.
We're going to lose and I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, Brooke, hopefully you're not crying much more moving forward. We don't want to see you tear. We don't want to see you in tears. Ben Berry does our podcast producer.
That's
that was
so
cold.
Rude.
They might have a conversation after this one.
Square up. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But, Brooke, it is early, and there's been some positives to look at with the Flyers, and I think a lot more to be seen and evaluated. We'll have it all here on the Flyers Talk podcast. 4-game homestand coming up Thursday against the Wild. ESPN Plus broadcast, and then Saturday afternoon game against the Ducks.
Yep.
1:00 on our air, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Brooke, thank you so much as always. Great seeing you. Great chatting with you. Hope you're hanging in there with the Phils.
Stop. It hurts.
Turn the page. I know that was just another.
You're jabbing me.
Yes.
Still, wrap up the podcast.
Time for hockey. Yeah, wrap it up. But time for hockey. Time for the Flyers. Ben Berry, our podcast producer, a big thank you to Ben as well. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we can't wait to talk to you next time.